For the 97th time, it's a very good afternoon, good evening, good morning. Sanbonani dumelang abshini molweni bonjour. From Cape to Cairo, New Zealand, Abu Dhabi, Soweto, all corners, all potholes, all every place that you might be consuming and streaming this podcast, welcome to Umjolo and Sex Podcast. Here speaking, definitely, it's still Mlungi Simpela, the most handsome 32-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in a cheese crop, Muhammad Ali's protege. Roll like a butterfly, definitely buzz more than a beehive. There's an extra buzz in me because these days we are podcast trotting. Everybody talks about global trotting. We are podcast trotting. And today, I think we are in Khumi's very favorite space because once again, G-Spot has allowed us into the space. We are doing some nice things and some nice content. You'll get to see all of those when you go to our website. But yeah, that's not about that today. But I still host the show once again with the ever beautiful, ever shining, ever glowing. Too many adjectives, so little time. She's still the lady of the house. Who's Khumi? Hi.
Hi, Mlu, how are you?
You should be better than I am because we are in your favorite space.
I am in the most wonderful place on earth.
Yeah, yeah, guys, we are at the G-Spot. Shout out to G-Spot. They're hosting us. And once again, the toys here are just to die for. If you ever find yourself in Soweto, not far from Baragwanath, you don't need to be sick to come here. Mm-hmm. You just need to have a very cool,
healthy
overview in terms of sex and sexuality. But definitely, we also look forward to you interacting with us on our social media platforms where you can be highly, highly engaging with us. We decided to do a little switch today. So normally, this part of the show, Khumi then does the intro of the conversation. So today, I'm stepping into her shoes a bit. So yeah, have you ever gotten to an ATM, you punch the code, you punch the amount of money, and then there's no money that comes out of the ATM. Funny enough, that's what happened to Khumi when she sent me cash earlier on. So he had sent everything. Everything was correct. Punched everything. The bank said to me it was processing my money, and it didn't. And yes, I was told then that that particular ATM was not working. But the analogy that I'm using today, we're speaking about something that is very similar to that. So we're speaking about anorgasmia. Which is an somebody who suffers or doesn't have frequent orgasms. So that is what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about people who struggle to have orgasms. What causes anorgasmia? What is this phenomenon? And can it be cured? You know, is it an illness or is it a dysfunction, like erectile dysfunction? We're going to have all those particular conversations with us. Thankfully, a big shout out to one of the other people that we have also sort of formed a good relationship with. Ooh, English. Is Contro. We've had a conversation with their CEO, Alex, earlier a couple of podcasts ago.
Yeah.
So we have one of the amazing doctors who is going to be on the studio with us. Khumi, I don't want to get her name wrong. I've been rehearsing and rehearsing and rehearsing, but I know you're probably going to get it right because
it's
otherwise.
Dr. Bouton, like you said earlier, Louis Bouton.
Dr. Bouton.
Bouton.
Okay.
Yes. Think Louis Bouton, but yeah, with the M.
Yes.
So Bouton.
Bouton.
Yes.
We call him Bouton. Welcome, Doctor, to Mjolo and Sex Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Are you having a good Friday?
Yes, yes. Good Friday so far. Fridays are always good.
Oh, it's fantastic, Doc. Fantastic. Doctor, when we're talking about anorgasmia, what are we talking about?
So basically, anorgasmia falls on a little bit of a spectrum. So you can't really say that one person is anorgasmic and another is not, because it falls a little bit on a spectrum.
Okay.
So for some people, it's that they have delayed orgasms. For other people, it's that they don't have any orgasms at all. Or for other people, it's just that they have an infrequency of their orgasms. But all of these things tend to cause, to some degree, personal distress for the patient.
Okay, I see. I see. Do we you speak about a spectrum, Do we know what causes it? Because I read somewhere there's quite a few things that might cause it. I think you highlighted stress. I'm not sure if stress is one of the contributing factors.
Yes, it absolutely is. So with regards to anorgasmia, you kind of get, there's different kinds. So you get something called primary anorgasmia, which is a person that's never had orgasms in their entire life.
Sure.
Then you get someone who's secondary anorgasmia. That's just basically someone who has difficulty reaching an orgasm, even though they've had one before in their life. And then you also have people who have situational orgasms, which is when they're put in certain situations, they are unable to have an orgasm. So that can be, for example, someone who can only have an orgasm during oral sex, but with penetrative sex, they can't have an orgasm.
I see.
This is by far the most common. And then your last one that you kind of look at on the spectrum is someone just who has general anorgasmia. They can have it with themselves, but they can't have it in any other situation.
Interesting.
So you kind of have to look at the type of anorgasmia to kind of lead you a little bit into what could possibly be causing it.
I see.
Doctor, we have, over the years, we've heard about how women have a hard time or they struggle with reaching an orgasm. But we never hear about men and their struggles with reaching an orgasm. So how prevalent is it? Is it more on the women's side? According to statistics, is it more on the women's side? Is it more on the men's side? What is it looking at?
So I think your like question is correct. I mean, is our statistics wrong with regards to male prevalence? Because is it like a pride thing? Is it that they don't report it? Mm-hmm. Is it that women tend to report it more often? Because when one looks at the statistics, generally, again, you can't say it's one statistic fits all. Because it's on a spectrum, there's kind of variable statistics, but usually females suffer from it far more than males. In one of the studies, they found that some females have a range of 11 to 41%, depending on, obviously, situation, partner, what their particular like conditions are. Whereas when we look at men, in the same study, it's only reported to be 3 to 4%.
I see.
So there's a huge discrepancy.
Yeah. So are there any treatments to this
condition? Yes, absolutely.
Is there treatment?
Yes.
How do people sort it out? Like, what can be done?
So obviously you have to look at the cause of it. So there are hundreds of causes, but if you just look at a few of the things that are very common. There are medical conditions that can cause it. Something if you have a low thyroid, if you have low testosterone, both males and females can actually have low testosterone. That one, lack of testosterone leads a little bit into erectile dysfunction in men, which also is a contributing factor. Things like if they've ever had previous genital or urogenital surgery. So, for example, a female who's had a hysterectomy where she's had her womb removed, or for a man who has prostate problems. So any kind of trauma to that area can actually increase it as well.
Wow.
Obviously we also have to look at things of what can cause like a decrease in sensation.
Yeah.
So that can either be previous trauma to the area, that being, unfortunately, some cultural practices actually do genital mutilation. So that can also definitely contribute. And then just in general, you get huge things that are psychological. That is one of the main ones, is the psychological burden. So, you know, it's a difficult one to explore because often in cultures or in society, sex has become so taboo to talk about.
Yes.
People don't talk about it enough or at all.
And I can imagine, you know, it's very sad. And I can imagine that psychology plays a major part in this condition, if we can call it that.
Most definitely. I think if one does find a medical cause, obviously it's linked a little bit to psychology as well. So, you know, you can't just treat the medical cause and expect the person to be fine. You know, if you treat the medical cause and you've optimized that condition, yes, absolutely, then you've managed them medically. But, you know, modern medicine tends to look at people from a very much a disease-based perspective, where you treat the disease and that's it. Whereas, you know, you need to kind of look at the person more holistically, because what problems has this disease or condition caused on their psyche? You need to address that, because ultimately that's the important part.
I see. Okay. I see. Doc, finally, two questions. One, are there signs of anorgasmia? What are some of the things that we might pick up? That, I mean, you spoke about at the initial, the secondaries and all of those things. What are some of the quick pickup signs that we might be able to pick up that there is a touch of anorgasmia?
The signs and symptoms.
Symptoms. Yeah. And then I think also secondly and most importantly, if not discussed, if there's no prognosis that is done, how can anorgasmia affect any relationship?
Yes. Okay. So again, I think with regards to signs and symptoms, it's very individual based. There's obviously always a clinical definition of you're not having an orgasm, or, you know, your perception of your orgasm is less. So it's a little bit difficult to say exact signs and symptoms, because it will differ from one person to the next.
I see.
For some men, if they've over masturbated and they've lost sensation, then, you know, they might not be able to have an orgasm with penetrative sex, but they might still be able to have an orgasm masturbating. So it falls a little bit on a spectrum, and that's why treatment for it is so important. People just never feel like there's no treatment out there, because once you identify if there's any medical cause, there are things like Viagra or Cialis, which are incredibly important erectile dysfunction drugs, but actually have been found, especially Viagra, been very useful in women with anorgasmia.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. Another interesting thing that's more towards the aesthetic side of medicine is where they actually inject platelets into either the penis or the into the clitoris area, and it actually increases the sensation.
I see. Oh, yes.
That's something like platelet-rich plasma. They're actually currently busy with studies to see if they can inject filler into that area, and if actually plumping up the area and making, for example, the clitoris more accessible, if that will increase the female's rate of orgasm.
Sure. And how does it affect a relationship, Doc, if not spoken to or dealt with?
Honestly, I think ultimately negatively, because if you don't have the confidence to speak to your partner, and that's a huge problem, is you need to be able to openly and freely speak to your partner about these things. If, you know, if you're not satisfied in the relationship, or what can your partner do differently to help you, or what can you guys try to assist each other? Ultimately, you know, if you don't address these things, they're going to become major issues in the relationship.
I fully agree. I fully agree. In fascinating conversation again, Doc. I suppose maybe we need to consistently maybe check with you and check how medically, where are we in terms of the advancements of some of these surgeries and some of these studies that are showing that the more and more we inject some of these things, we're able to assist. And ultimately, all we want to do is to really have a pleasant and enjoy our sexual experience. Correct, Doc?
Absolutely. I think it's such a vital part of being a human being that it should never be overlooked by anyone.
I tell you what, Doc, we're never going to overlook your insights, ever. Big thank you to you. Big thank you for your amazing, amazing insights once again. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Cheers, Doc.
Thank you, Doctor.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Fascinating conversation there, Schumi. And I think I always say, like, every time we have these conversations and every time we put these program notes on, we too learn, right? So I always tell people the assumption is people think that we just curate and we know-it-alls.
And we know everything.
You understand? Yeah. It's amazing that we also found out there are so many developments that are happening. And we are listening and learning with you.
Listen, what is it called again?
Anorgasmia.
Anorgasmia.
Yes.
That is a mouthful.
I know.
Hunch. I know about this condition. I know that there are people who have sex, but they don't reach orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
I know about it. But I didn't know there was a name to it. I didn't know that there was a whole study around it. You know, obviously, it's not only just a physical thing. It's also...
metaphysical.
Yeah, like she explained, it's also mental. Yeah. You know, if you're not, and especially for women... And which is why I asked her earlier about how
prevalent
is it in men? Because we assume if men ejaculate, that means, you know.
And there's a difference, by the way, right?
But also for some men, it takes longer than most to reach orgasm or ejaculate, you know. And because, you know, there are a lot of factors that play into it.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as ulokela silo and then...
when I leave flu, take this and...
ulokela silo waruta. No, there's a lot. It's a mental exercise for both men
and women. And that is why I asked at the end, sorry, Oskumi. I asked at the end, how does it affect the relationship? And I'm glad... she speaks about everything that we always continue to speak about. We've spoken about sizes, and everybody has a lot to say about that. Everybody has a lot to say about their favorite sex position. Mm-hmm. Everybody has the nicer part of things. Everybody has nice things to say. Yes. This is a very technical conversation. Mm-hmm. So when things start getting technical now when it comes to the bedroom, now everybody now does not have something to say.
And I'm glad we're having this conversation because there's this misconception that if you are gifted in terms of size, whether it's the length, whether it's the girth, if you are gifted, that means there's going to be maximum sexual pleasure. But that's not always the case.
We heard it from the doctor.
You might be gifted, but it might take you longer for you to reach orgasm.
And it might also not be satisfactory, as you were saying.
Exactly. But also, on the flip side, you might not be as gifted. You might have, like...
the average size.
Excuse me. Ibile average size kebon. Banyana, baibicha, pentele.
Okay.
You might have pentele nyana, but you will reach maximum... you will achieve achieve maximum pleasure.
Exactly.
Because you know how to use it.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, from this, having had this conversation, I'm now realizing, and this is something that I've always known, but now it's just now being put into words, that it is a condition.
Here it is. And I think for me, as we conclude, the most important thing is study your person, right? Study.
That's so important.
It's
know your person.
It's important. You know, we
know the needs and wants and what pleases them.
And because it speaks to, she spoke about it at towards the end. Some people will reach an orgasm through oral sex.
Yeah.
And never through penetrative. And exactly. And I think we've spoken to Dr. Zend at length about the ratio of penetrative sex versus other aspects of sex. And I think it's high time that we need to hammer this thing. Know your partner, understand, and you see, because you need to look, what do they like? You always say, when you touch them, so they like it when you touch here, or so they don't like it when you touch there. So it's that, those things, then you're able to then pick up if there is something wrong all of a sudden. And we should be able to talk about it freely.
Listen, in life, I don't have a formula. Like, thank life, you. I have a formula. Life, I have a user manual. So you cannot, and the same applies to relationships. So what worked for...
In your previous?
Kidiboni will not work for Romy.
Thank you.
You know, Kidiboni might have liked this and that, but Romy's not going to like it.
And it's okay.
So you have to get to know Romy, and you have to get to know what she likes and please her in order for her to have maximum pleasure, which is reaching an orgasm. But also, Linna...
Vice versa.
As your partner, I must also learn what pleases you, because what pleases you might not be what pleased my ex-boyfriend.
Exactly.
You know, see, Paul liked this and that, but you don't like it. You know, so
and it's okay.
Exactly, and I support what you're saying when you say, Rory, you have to get to know your partner.
Absolutely.
You know, get to know what they like and what they don't like so that you can please them, so that the both of you, because sex is not a one-way...
Joel.
N1 between Gauteng and Limpopo. For those of you who don't know, N1 is Gauteng and Limpopo. One way. Yeah, that way. Yeah, Northy. Another.
Comes lady. Back.
It's Amaya South.
Can't be like that.
So it's...
It's both ways.
It's both ways.
It must.
We have... to please each other. It's not about the individual.
Exactly.
But it's about us as individual. Yes, it's about the individual, but it's about us as the individual coming together to get maximum pleasure.
I like it. Coming together, yes. Pun intended. Please, guys, please. And I hope you took some of this is a great nuance that we're here that the doctor shared with us, and share it on our social media platforms where you highly engage with us, guys, and speak freely about these things. You're not weird, and these conversations are there to help you. In our social media platforms, where can people interact with us?
Oh, we are still on Facebook.
Yay, boo!
You can find us Daily Sun,
uh-huh.
Or you can find us on www.dailysun.co.za. We've got such an amazing website.
Yep,
you guys, it's so interactive. It's so exciting.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, guys,
you have to check it out. You have
click. Yeah, we've got a subscribe, sign in, man, and you will be able to comment.
Yes.
So be able to hear from you. What do you like? What don't you like about our conversations?
What can we improve?
What can we improve on? And also, most importantly, what are some of the other conversations that you want us to have? You can only do that if you subscribe, you know, and click there. We've got also a very lovely newsletter as well that you can also be interactive with, where you can get some of our amazing, some of our top stories, some of our top content as well. You can get to check that out also on our newsletter. But once again,
we'd love to hear from you guys.
We do, right?
Like, we'd love. Facebook,
I always enjoy it.
We want input.
Yes, we do.
We want input. Whether it's negative or positive,
we want input.
We just want to hear from you guys. What do you guys think?
We take all of
the podcast, in terms of just relationships in general.
And I suppose one of these good days, maybe we're going to have like that open panel where we just invite people.
We're going to have that.
You know, and then
it's coming.
Yes, then we have people. And then we talk about, you know. Then we have, we're going to definitely look into that. Once again, everybody, we are like literally now around the corner now in terms of 100 episodes. We are celebrating. We are in here everywhere. But all of those things would never be anything if you're not part of it, if you're not listening
to these.
Kumi was tongue-tied when I was telling her about 100,000. So she thought downloads. I'm like, no, 100,000 listens. I was like, what?
Because it's such a huge number. You know? I had to wrap my head around it because it's such a huge number.
So there's a lot of people across the globe that listen to us that value what we want to say, you know? And we
it's so amazing that people are actually taking time out to listen to what we have to say. And half the time, I am ranting and I'm sounding judgmental. And I know, guys, it sounds like I'm judging y'all, but I'm not.
It's love.
I'm not, trust me.
It's love.
I'm the biggest sinner you ever find. I mean, like, for instance, right now, we are in an adult store that sells
adult things.
That adult things, and by adult things, we mean
highly X-rated.
I am in my element, you know, so I don't judge, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I spew these things every other week.
And you love them.
On this podcast. Clearly. And I sometimes feel like people think maybe I am uptight, I'm prudy, you know, I'm judgmental. And I'm not judgmental. Yeah, sometimes I rant and it might sound like I'm judgmental.
But it comes from a good
place. But guys, I'm not judging you because...
I too.
Because I'm also a sinner.
Yes.
So I do not judge.
Yes, we don't judge on this platform.
We love y'all and we want to hear from you. And yes, we want your feedback.
Definitely, definitely. But once again, a big thank you to our doctor. We look forward to...
Mouton. I'm not saying that Mouton because it sounds like
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton, my favorite kind of shoe.
Way.
I love the Kate Spade heels.
All right, cool. Yeah. If you hear her dropping signals now, her birthday is coming very soon.
Yes.
So she's dropping them.
Yes.
She's dropping.
I'm hinting.
Yeah.
I'm a size 4, by the way.
Gee whiskers. Yes, guys. Her birthday month is just. It's here, actually. It's here. And we're going to celebrate it up until we get to it. But once again, a big thank you to everybody who's listened. A big thank you to G-Spot for having us. And yeah, if you see me, if you see her, but if you see me, I'm still Mlungu Simphela, the most handsome 32-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in a cheese crop, Muhammad Ali's protege. I roll like a butterfly and I buzz more than a beehive.
I'm still Romisiabi. And still without a cool outro.
It is love and light, everybody.
My gosh, be kind to one another.
Guys, always.
Yeah.
Shop.